Today, visiting with School Superintendent Julie Trepa. Good to have you here.
Yeah, good morning.
We're moving along through the school year.
I cannot believe it's October.
Had homecoming, had
yes,
open houses, and
we
did. Again, you had a number of people showed up at both locations.
Yes.
A number of people have already been in there, but
yes,
we had planned for this one.
We did plan for this one. For those that hadn't had an opportunity to come through, we have a lot of community members that, you know, maybe don't have children or grandchildren attending the school. So it was a great opportunity for them to come and see the new school and Crossroads both. And so, yeah, really happy with the turnout. Lots and lots of people.
And a lot of folks there. And I think there are some might still be lost in that Legends there or something.
Maybe.
We got to go out and see the playground, too.
Yes. Yes, that was a big draw. That we had a lot of mini hosts that joined the families that came that helped provide some tours, so Autumn wasn't the only one providing those. So,
now, there were actually quite a few. So we had a good time, though. But it was interesting. I think a lot of people, and I did see some former teachers going,
yeah,
whoa. You know,
yeah,
they were pretty impressed.
Yeah. So it's just nice to be able to showcase the beautiful building that our community helped build. So,
well, we did. And let's talk a little bit about the road next, because it is open. Some people are using it. But now we begin the process of getting that transferred over to the city. So
exactly. So we've got a public hearing set in November to start that process. There's a whole process whenever you want to turn things back over. So,
got to go through a hearing
that.
And
we go
everything
through a public hearing and do all of that. Yep.
Otherwise, I know city's been out there.
They have.
All the street lighting is there. A couple of panels that needed replacement. That's done. And people are using it.
Yes.
And then they have to remember there's the speed limits, and you got those things
correct
to pay attention to. So
that's absolutely true. The times I've been on it, people have been pretty good about that, but hopefully people will remember that. Yeah, it's on a road where there's a school.
And then we do have the part when they get in, on and off out there at Corporal Smith. As we get more and more people starting to use it, I think that's where the reduced speed limit will be the big thing that a lot of people have to pay attention to.
Yes.
So last night we had Capstone Group do a presentation.
Yes.
Virtually. To the board. But Capstone, you guys have been visiting with him for a number of weeks already.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is once we got to the point where the board said, okay, now we have our properties we have to get rid of or do something with. They were brought to you.
They were brought to us. This group is a nonprofit organization, and they revitalize old buildings, historical buildings. And so that's where the interest in Lincoln and Page came in. And they have done some projects in Nevada and Marion, and had some real success with those. And so that's what the board listened to last night, and move forward in that process.
We have a ways to go,
work with that. We do have a ways to go, absolutely. But at least move forward with the concept of potentially being able to provide those properties for renovation.
They're talking about doing some apartments. So the board did have an opportunity to ask them a few questions, got to see some concept drawing type things. And again, that's one of those we're just really getting started. But
absolutely.
They did. We're brought to you by Economic Development, so we had an opportunity to. And I know the city's been involved too. If people are wondering, communicate.
Absolutely, the city's absolutely been involved. Bill Scarry and I have discussed, the opportunities that it may bring to the city. So, yes, that was a good presentation to be able to at least have a conversation around.
So, and we did have a couple of other questions, and I'm sure other people are going to have more questions as they come forward. So,
their goal would be to have around 25 to 30 apartments in each building. So, that was their goal that they shared.
We'll see. And people are going to go, well, what about the space? Well, we'll see what happens with of that. As they come forward and a lot more information will come out. We did get the certified annual report, which was
kind
of, if you ever want to know about spending authority, Just have Paulette come and talk to you about the financial report. Again, that is one of the things that, again, is a lot different for school districts than city, county, and other entities because schools have spending authority. You might have money in savings,
but you can't spend it.
You don't have the authority to spend it.
Yeah, there are actually districts in the state that have gone under with cash on hand. Because they don't have the authority to spend the money that's there. So that's what makes school finance unique, what makes it difficult to understand. But Paulette, I thought, did a beautiful job of explaining that and sharing where we are with our current spending authority. That's the biggest thing, is we try to make sure we have plenty of spending authority. So if something did come up, we're not stuck. But there is a sweet spot that we're trying to hit. And it's tricky because you're working with things you don't always know, like what is the enrollment going to look like? And enrollment's always, you know, off a year. So our enrollment this year, we don't receive that money till next year. Yeah. So it's a
challenge.
It's a challenge, yes.
Which, and I know when she was talking last night too, you mentioned the having the sweet spot, because part of what you have the authority to spend is really like in the general fund, which is basically people. That's
right.
Personnel, 80
staffing.
Some percent of
80%,
it.
80%, yep. Yeah. About 80% always is our staff and benefits.
So part of it is it an ongoing expenditure or, you know, and that is one of the challenges. And she was explaining how you look at that and, okay, is this going to be still here 4 or 5 years from now? And what's it going to look like then? So
right,
that's
and we don't
part of
know.
That balancing.
Yeah, and we don't know what kind of state aid we're going to get until the legislature tells us. So forecasting out, it's not like we know exactly what we're going to receive. So yeah, it is a challenge for sure. But Boone has done an excellent job of staying fiscally responsible. So we're in good shape right now. I mean, it's a nice problem to have that we feel we're a little above where we should be. So we're going to try and go down
and that's, and again, a lot of that has to do because so many schools receive that infusion of COVID money and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. And I think the board saw last night that we're well below what the state median is. And so that also, I mean, is a testament to the fact that we've been able to keep it down lower in a more reasonable space than maybe the rest of the state has. So,
you've been pretty fortunate, though. You've had some good finance people to keep tabs on that, too.
Yes.
The special education deficit, I'm not even going to ask you how we got there. It's about $292,000 is for our deficit this year. We've had higher, we've had lower, but it's one of the things that the legislature and basically the state says, if you have a deficit, you can levy for it.
Right.
And I know you try to keep it.
We do keep it as, honestly, if you were to look at the rest of the state, that's still a pretty low number. It sounds like a lot, but it's still a pretty low number comparatively speaking. And I was asked last night, you know, what to kind of explain that. And essentially, IDEA hasn't been fully funded since its inception. And so the funds that we receive for the services that we provide, it's never not ever fully funded. Yeah. So that's why there's a deficit.
So. And again, we've seen it. I've seen it sometimes when it's been real high. And then other times, you know, we've always had a deficit to an extent. I don't know too many districts that don't end up with some sort of a deficit.
Right. Yeah. It was significantly higher several years ago. So we're in a good space
Keep it right there if you can. Good luck with that.
Yep.
Some of the other things. You did talk about, again, on the enrollment part. And I do know that was one of the things you had asked the board, and they did agree to go ahead with it. You would like to have an analysis done on what we're anticipating on enrollment going forward.
An enrollment
and you have
study
companies,
done.
You have companies that do specialize in that.
Yeah, so I've been in districts where we've done that, and it has been extremely beneficial in being able to help us with some of those financial decisions that we were talking about when we were talking about the car. So that having an enrollment study done would be a lot better than us simply looking solely at birth rate, which we know is less now than it has been. But there are a lot of other factors in a community than birth rate. So we, I would very much like to be able to do the enrollment study so that it can provide us with information and make more informed decision making and plan more purposefully so that, again, we can continue with the responsible finances.
It's one of those things where, if you have numbers that you have confidence in, you can plan.
You can plan for it. So I will be going to the companies that I know do this and finding out what they will charge. And that is something that would be a one-time expenditure that might help us also to kind of flatten things out a little bit. So
we'll try to flatten it. Yeah. Part of it, folks, is that what you have a carryover on the balance side is basically just percentage points higher than you would like it to be. A few. It's not
significant at all. And again, when you look at, Paulette showed the graph that showed where we tried to get as close to zero and we were like 1.9%. And so we were, we're doing a good job. We just like to always do the best that we can. So
refine that a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that'll be going on. Again, that'll be interesting to see. Now let's talk these policies. By law, school boards have to review their policies. This year, you just happen to get a whole bunch of new ones.
We just have to get a whole bunch of new ones. The new laws that were passed this last session, it can be everything from as little to there was a requirement previously for school improvement plans in districts very specifically. So that terminology was in all of the language and board policies. Well, the legislature changed that, and so now that's all changed. So it doesn't necessarily change our operations, it changed the verbiage in it. So a lot of the changes were like that, but there were a couple of new ones that we wanted to discuss at the board table to make sure that we were all understanding what they meant.
And it's and it was pretty easy because, like, Paulette gave them this mini book.
Yes.
And it's not the kind of reading you do right before you're going to sleep.
It'll help put you to sleep, maybe.
It will. It's pretty good. But she identified which ones are new law and need to be in there and stuff like that.
Well, because there are mandatory policies and there are non-mandatory policies. So, yes, Paulette did try to provide some structure to the book that they received so that they could be more effective in their assessment of the policies that they were reviewing. So,
all right, a couple other things. We did have Mike Kennedy on hand.
We did.
So I remember the presentation when it was made about how we're going to, we're going to be able to track students. We'll have the buses, and we've had a difficult time getting all of that put together, but we seem to be
We're getting closer. Yeah. So. A wide variety of issues had come up, but the most recent were that some of the equipment was not working correctly, and it's really hard to roll out a GPS system if some of the GPS systems aren't working. So that's what Mike updated us on, and today he said he now knows what he's looking for with two of the buses, and so if they can remedy those, then I'll be able to send out a letter to parents letting you all know that you need to make sure your emails are correct in Infinite Campus, because login information would be sent to your Infinite Campus emails that you've provided to us. So if those are not correct, you won't receive the information. So as soon as I get the green light to send the letter I wrote months ago, I will send that out.
And this basically is so parents can track where the buses are.
Yeah, you'll be able to see, the bus is five stops away, or it's at the school now, I'm dropping my child off. What's crucial to that, though, is the students having their cards, their bus cards, because they scan them when they get on and scan when they get off. So if they don't have that card, you won't be able to track your child. So
they're gone.
Yes.
Well, and I will say, kids are kids, and cards either disappear or malfunction.
It can be put on cell phones, so our older students, our middle school and high school students, can have it on their phone. We know they don't lose those, so that's something that, again, we will share that information with parents when we can. So the letter will originally come from me, and then Mike shared last night that the company called Unite GPS will likely be the ones that will actually send it to the parents. I will not have that information because we're trying to, again, make sure it's secure and only parents receive the information.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, you did have Director Beth Townsend, Workforce Development here, and also Mackenzie Snow from Department of Education. They got a chance to see our EDGE program and some of the things that are going on there.
They did.
And you had some of your participants, not just students and staff, but some of the businesses, some of the people that actually work with them on different things. The one that comes to mind is, of course, Justin Adams with Fire Department. I know he was just excited that they were be able to do an EMT training thing. And that's really, by the way, now an apprenticeship, too.
Yes, we have an EMT apprentice, and we're really excited about that partnership. And so our panelists encompass students, our teaching staff, and then also our business partners. And Justin was one of the partners that were there. And what was unique about that is he's a a public entity. And so most of our panelists that we've had in the past have all been
business people.
Yeah. So that was a nice change for our Workforce Development Director and our Director of Education to hear from someone even that's maybe not in the private sector, but the public sector as well. So they had some great questions for the panelists and had an opportunity to have Q&A and also
see a lot of students take part too.
Absolutely. And they toured the building again and saw the our students who use their Scrum board and kind of how they operate. So a lot, some of them had been to Boom before and our new director had not, so that was nice to have her be able to see that. And then even gave a shout out to us at a conference later in that week, so that was nice.
Good. Well, one of the things, too, and that's really an opportunity about that, but like workforce development, you have gotten pretty good grants from through that program, and that's allowed you to do a lot of different things.
Yes, I would say we've had, well, like over the years, hundreds of thousands of dollars have come from workforce development, from the STEM BEST grants, from a wide variety of resources. And so they're familiar with Boone, but it was nice to hear that we shared some new information with them as well that they weren't aware of. So we continue to grow and provide more opportunities for students, and it's always great to be able to share that.
And we got to say that both Lindsay and Boz don't sit still.
They do not.
They're out there finding other participants,
other
people that want to participate.
Well, so our teachers that shared on the panel were Jim Fitzgerald and Lindsay Hyman. So great ambassadors for the work that our kids do.
So we keep moving ahead. What do we have coming up here for you? Let's see, October, next meeting in November.
Next meeting's November. We have the annual and organizational meetings because it'll be after the elections. So that's going to be, that's probably the biggest thing that's coming up is the election.
So we've got that going on, and you will do the public hearing at that time for turning the road over. And again, you got to do the public hearing.
Yes, we do. It's just part of the process. So it's all good.
Keep going forward.
Yeah.
And did have a little in-service day Monday because of, but again, kind of middle of the semester almost. So.
Yeah, but it was a great day of learning for our staff. We did a lot of work around our literacy, and all of the different departments had time to meet vertically, so K-12. So that's an opportunity we don't get unless we don't have students there. So it was a great day of learning. Heard lots of positive feedback from the staff. So ready to come back and do some more. Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Julie Trepa, Boone School Superintendent, on our program. Thank you.
Thank you.